The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hour number two of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. It is Election Tuesday, and we will see what transpires in our country tonight. I do hope and pray we have, by the end of the night, we know if we have a new president or Donald Trump will be in for four more years. There's growing concern that somehow we may not know for weeks. There's growing concern that there are threats to businesses. You've heard, I'm getting emails from people saying, I'm so afraid of what's to come. Okay, well, we don't know what's to come. And I'm just adamant about this point. I won't be long. I just don't think we're to live our lives in fear. We do not know what is to come. That's the truth of things. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. Stephen in Los Angeles. Stephen, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, good to be on your show again. Good to talk to you. I wanted to talk about how this pandemic, you know, it's a worldwide, you know, killer virus. And I just believe that it's a pandemic to me because I think the one world order, meaning that cash and coins are going to be obsolete. And if we go here to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 17, to be exact, it talks about anyone that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark and the name of the beast or the number on his name. So I just think that it's a pandemic. They're going to, you know, technology evolving. That mark is going to be eventually put in the hand or the forehead. And cash and coins, you know, they carry diseases or certain viruses. And I think that's just they're conditioning us.
So you really live your life like this. You believe this. How do you live your life believing that this is to come?
I just try to not fear, live in faith and not fear.
How does one try not to live in fear? Trying kind of implies failure. So how do you try not to live in fear? What does that mean?
I just believe that, you know, hopefully, and I pray that Jesus I know that Jesus will rapture me before this even happens, or rapture us as a church in the body of Christ.
And you know, some of our best theologians and biblical scholars in the Bible says nobody knows when any of this is going to occur. And yet, are you really living your life daily, weekly, like somehow this could happen in the not too distant future, and you wake up in the morning and go, okay, is this the day? I mean, I just want to lovingly challenge you and say, stop living your life like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been despots. There's always been people since the beginning of time that have tried to control the masses. And I'm not saying that there may be not some merit in what you say, but we don't know when. And I'm not arguing, don't be passive. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just be careful what you feed your mind and what you tell yourself. I love what Ken Graves said. I don't know if – did you hear any of what I played with the pastor from yesterday or today where he talked about feed yourself with facts and truth and live your life according to God's word? Did you hear any of that?
No, I did not, Frank.
Okay. And I'm not beating you up. I hope you don't, you know, think I'm somehow ganging up on you. I just know that, look, what you say, there may be some truth. We know about, we've heard about the New World Order. I believe there are people that are globalists that want to attempt to monopolize. But here's the deal, brother. Jesus is Lord. I believe in spiritual warfare. And right now, there are battles going on in the spiritual realm between good and evil, and good wins out in the long run. And so, and so I just want to encourage you, as my dear friend Victor Mark says, don't be paranoid, be prepared, but don't be paranoid, and live your life fully for the Lord. And be a leader and challenge people to step up and live life to its fullest and share the gospel with people. And whatever is to come will come. But God is sovereign. He's in control. And he's got a plan for your life. And it's one thing to, you know, educate yourself and inform yourself about certain things that are out there that may or may not come to pass. But don't live your life as if this is a done deal and this is it's going to happen. It's gonna be happening, and please, Jesus, rapture me before it does. Don't live your life like that. I beat you up enough?
Hey, as long as it's in love.
Yeah, well, it is, and I just want to encourage you. God's got a plan for your life. He wants you to be a leader. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to be a beacon, and you're not going to show the world who he is walking around anticipating that darkness is just down the road. We know what to do with darkness. I appreciate you, Stephen. Thank you for calling. Yeah, somebody sent me a video the other day. And I don't want to be ignorant, so I watch, I read things. I do pray, like, Holy Spirit, show me. Like, there's a time where it's like, okay, you don't need to watch the whole thing. But one of the latest videos out there has to do with something that may be coming in Canada, and there's going to be a third lockdown, and it's all really bad. And it's okay to acquaint yourself with information out there, but so therefore what? What do we do now? This is the day the Lord has made. Amen? And I'm not a pastor. I've got a little radio program. I've got a men's ministry. But all I can tell you is I'm a sinner saved by the cross. And I'm jacked up. I'm broken. I need the Lord now more than ever. You know, this imposing, we're boarding up businesses because of what is to come, what may come. Maybe. Don't live your life in fear. It's not the way God wants us to live our lives. And I will say one last thing, and then we'll take more calls, and then this commentary I want to read before the end of Impact on Prayer. In fact, I'll let her say it. She says it better than any way I could. It's actress, or we call everybody actors now. Let's be politically correct. I guess male, female, man, woman, they're all actors. We don't say actors or actresses anymore. But Kirstie Alley was on Tucker Carlson the other day, and she was talking about the media. And the context is, she says, look, I believe COVID is real. I wash my hands. I wear a mask everywhere. I social distance. But she started to question things. And on her Twitter account, she even questioned a little bit of what CNN puts out there. Just listen to this exchange between Tucker Carlson and Kirstie Alley if you've not heard it.
They're broadcasting terror because it's a deflection. They don't want to talk about when the thing came out with Biden. And is he in cahoots with China? Is he in cahoots with Ukraine? Okay, let's find out, I would say. But instead, a friend of mine, you know, a couple of friends of mine watch CNN, and they go, you really need to watch CNN instead of Fox. So the other day I said, okay, I'm going to watch CNN instead of Fox. And it was horrible. It was like, oh, my God, I would be horrified to walk out of the house. And it doesn't do anybody any good is the thing. We all know we're not deaf. We're, you know, we can hear and we can see. Just because we're voting Republican doesn't mean we can't hear or see. So we know there's this death count. But it's like they want to stand in the time, you know, in the town square and bring out the dead, bring out the dead. And they act like we aren't affected. They act like the only people who get this disease are Democrats. And I don't know. Has anyone taken a poll of that? It seems insane, but all these polls are insane. So why not, I say? Take a poll about that. Who's the
sickest? Well, it's a health crisis, not a political... Right, it's not a political matter, but they politicized it from the beginning. So
But that's to deflect. But they don't want to. They don't want to talk about what somebody else would, might be big news. So they want to talk about that. I'm not downplaying it at all. I've had friends who've gotten COVID. I've had two friends that almost died. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying, what good does it do anyone if you're provoking terror? It makes people commit suicide. It makes people not go to the doctor if they have a different thing happening, like cancer, God forbid, or pneumonia, God forbid. They won't show up at the hospital because they're afraid they'll get COVID. And then the suicide rate is up. So I like the hopefulness along with the reports.
I think that's a really smart point and a rational point. I think any normal person able to filter out the political passions would agree with what you just said.
So, saying it a different way, inform yourself, don't be ignorant, expose yourself to different views. But if you watch the mainstream media, I mean, I agree with Kirstie Alley, it's all about terror. I watch the local news, and I'd like to say I've got some thick skin. I've been doing this for a lot of years. It takes a lot to rattle me. But I literally watched the local news last week for 3 minutes, and I'm not kidding you. It's like I couldn't push the off button. And when I finally did, it was like, I don't want to go outside today. I'm like, it's so bad, it's the end. And that's what the news cycle feeds you, 24/7. Doom, gloom, fear-mongering. Like Kirstie Alley says, the death count, the running total across the bottom of the screen. It's bad. It's really bad. It's going to get worse. And you listen to somebody like Joe Biden in the last debate, it's a dark winter coming. There are people in positions of political power that feed off the masses by imposing fear on you. Some are even tyrants. That's how they operate. We say no to tyrants. No to fear. There's no way. Nick in Los Angeles. Nick, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I've been listening since 2015. Big fan. My wife and I both voted Donald Trump. She's a Hispanic. Her parents came here from Guatemala. Her entire family has voted for Trump. We met in ministry, God-fearing couple, and we have a lot of friends that in ministry or that, you know, from the church that say they can't vote for Donald Trump because of his personality or the way that he talks. And I just wanted to get your thoughts and maybe what you would say to Christians that are hesitant to vote for Donald Trump because of his personality.
I would be glad to respond. I appreciate you calling, Nick. God bless you and your wife. Thank you for being so transparent and honest. So here's one of a few things I would say. Anyone that wants to challenge their own belief system, I think it's not an easy thing. I last night posted on Twitter, many do not want to know the truth for fear of complicating one's life. In other words, we would rather live with a belief system that may or may not be accurate or true, because if we challenge ourselves, we might have to change. We may have to change our position. So enter the proverbial, I can't vote for Donald Trump because of his personality or his lack of character. Look, there's no doubt about it. This guy has, how do we say this? He's narcissistic. He has a past. He can be divisive and arrogant, vitriolic. All of that is true. So therefore what? That disqualifies him for being a leader? Are you kidding me? Or to say, I'm Christian, so this goes against the Bible. He's acting not like Christ-like. And so that disqualifies him? You're to vote your convictions, biblical convictions, from a biblical worldview. That's how we're called to vote. If we sit and we go after character, and if you really want to, like, say, okay, let's look to the Bible and who fits that. Nobody would fit that. You wouldn't fit that. I wouldn't fit that. We're all broken. We're all a mess. We all are sinful. We all need the cross of Christ. But here's the deal. And look, again, oh my goodness. Donald Trump, by all accounts, is the most effective and consequential pro-life president of the modern age. Does that mean anything? Right? If we just want to go from a factual perspective, and there's been many theologians. Albert Mohler was on my program last week. He didn't vote for Trump in 2016. He's written a piece. Go to albertmohler.com. It's called Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Election. It is deep. He writes, I cannot accept the argument that a calm man, Joe Biden, who affirms the dismembering of babies in the womb, has a superior character to a man who rants like Genghis Khan, but acts to preserve that life. I mean, I oftentimes ask myself when I hear somebody saying, I can't vote for him. I'm Christian. I want to have a conversation. Well, please tell me what defines you by which you say you're a Christian. I'd like to know what that means. I've talked to many of Christians on this program over the years. Some say, when I say, you say you're Christian, what does that mean? Well, I believe in God. Okay. Do you go to church? No. You read the Bible? No. Again, that what does that mean? I'm a Christian. Biblical worldview is of the essence. So that's kind of one of many responses I would share, Nick. Here's something else I'll kind of segue out of this impact segment with. It's a commentary. If you're a Christian, I would hope and pray you believe in the power of prayer, right? Here's a commentary that kind of is, well, it's not too scathing. It's not too opinionated. It's not like Donald Trump is the answer and Joe Biden is bad, bad. Just listen to this commentary. It's called, Do Not Take Your Foot Off the Pedal of Prayer. All over America, there's a great outpouring of prayer for the nation and for the elections. Believers are gathering together online and in corporate settings, fasting and praying for God's intervention. We need you, God. They cry out with one voice. Have mercy on our land. Don't abandon us, Lord. Help, Father. Even in other countries, believers are fasting and praying for America right now. We stand at a pivotal time in our history, and as America goes, much of the world goes. But the worst thing we could do is stop praying tomorrow, November 4th, if in fact we have a result by then of the elections. Desperate prayer will be needed just as much the day after as the day before today. Desperate prayer will be needed in the months and even years following the elections, just as much as in the months and years leading up to today. Unless, of course, you think that there is a political solution to the many maladies that afflict us, or that getting or keeping the right person in the White House will be some kind of cure-all, or that gaining or regaining the Senate or the House will stop the riots and unite the factions and quiet the unrest. Michael Brown writes, Do I believe that one candidate and one party has better policies for the nation? Absolutely. But our problems are too deep for a political solution. That's why we must continue to pray. When it comes to the elections, Michael Brown writes, I never pray for a specific candidate or party to win. Instead, I cast my vote. Then I pray for God's best, not pretending to know the mind of the Lord. He has purposes and plans in mind that are infinitely above ours. He's looking at eternal implications and considering multi-generational outcomes. Perhaps what looks like the worst result in the short term will produce the best result in the long term. That's why I pray for God's will to be done rather than praying for the election of the candidates for whom I vote. This is also what I recommend to others, since in this way we can all pray together in unity. Father, your will be done. Otherwise, depending on our differing political convictions, one group will be praying for the election of candidate A, while the other group will be praying for the election of candidate B. In effect, we'll be praying our will be done. Best to pray for his will, not ours. And then Dr. Michael Brown writes, that being said, it would be a massive strategic mistake to let up in the intensity of our praying once the elections are settled. Think about it for a moment. Brown shares, although I voted for Trump in 2016 and will vote for him today, I must ask myself, is America more divided today than it was 4 years ago? Are we in more national upheaval, more shaking, more in danger of tearing apart at the seams? The answer is obvious. So even with the man many of us voted for in the White House, even with the many positive things that this president has done for the nation, and I truly believe there are many, America is a mess. Barring divine intervention, 4 more years of Trump is going to bring on more upheaval, with the likelihood of a deepening of the radicalization of the left. And he says, again, I say this as someone who believes Trump is far better and a far better alternative than Biden. And what if Joe Biden's elected, especially if he keeps his campaign promises and implements that platform? The pushback against increasing government overreach is going to be intense, as will be the reaction to the continued loss of our liberties. Either way, no matter who wins the election, the polarizing is going to increase. The anger is going to rise. The factions will deepen. The extremes will become more extreme. That's why we need to keep the pedal to the metal when it comes to desperate, sustained, fervent prayer. Only God can heal our wounds. So please continue to pray. We have open lines, 888-528-2557. If you are interested in following up with results later tonight on the radio, you are welcomed to go to our sister station, AM 870 The Answer, starting at 6 o'clock, for all the election results and commentary. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. I'll echo the sentiments of what I just read. Be prayerful about tonight. I'm already getting texts from people that are concerned. The media is doing its thing and saying certain things that I suspect may or may not be true, but we will see. And I think it, I don't want to go long here. Last 4 years ago, you heard it was already a done deal. Didn't end up that way. We will see. Should prove to be a very interesting evening, to say the least. Ida, it looks like Ida.
Yeah.
In Southgate, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You know what? Yes, I like listening to you. I don't agree with everything you say, but I do listen to your program when you pick up the kids from school, and usually I have that on. But I don't really think that it's fear that some people have. I think it's more like common sense. Because I think that what happens is that I'm a Christian. I've been walking with the Lord for a while, you know, and sometimes I know I catch myself doing things that are not Christian-like, and I ask God to help me, you know. But I think that what happened right now is that us as Christians, we're attacking instead of, you know, trying to be more. These people don't know the Lord, you know, so the more we attack them, the more they think like, well, I thought they're supposed to be love, you know, and God didn't. The Bible does talk about we have all the gifts, but we have no love, you know. And the Bible does say that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, for everybody, you know. And these people, you know, when we make fun of them, because sometimes I hear you, how you express yourself about Barbara Ferrer. And, I mean, you know, she probably just doing her job, you know, and we, like, attacking her. You know, she does, she never said she's a doctor. She probably goes by the numbers and reports they give her, too, you know. So,
well, I appreciate the clarification. I was going to ask you if you could be specific about what you mean by not loving other people. So do we really want to go down the road? Barbara Ferrer, who is represented as a doctor, she doesn't say anything. She makes $500,000 a year. She implements these policies by which devastates hundreds and hundreds of families, and we're just going to love her? That's what you're saying we're called to do as Christians?
You know, I don't think we should attack her.
Who attacks her?
Who, if you believe, wait, if we believe that God is in control and God places our kings and presidents and the government, and I mean, I think we should go out and vote, and we should vote the way the scripture says. Don't misunderstand me, but I think that, like you said, you know, we can't be fearing because this person is there or that person is in control, because the ultimate, the one that is in control is God, you know.
But that doesn't mean we're to be submissive completely and absolutely.
No, no, I agree with you, you know, that's true. But if we're constantly, you know, it just, you know, I notice because I feel like that. And sometimes when I have the kids in the car, they tell me, why do you listen to that, you know? It sounds like he's mad. It sounds like he's angry. It sounds like,
well, God,
like,
for, God forbid, you know, God forbid, hold on a second. God forbid your children hear a grown man angry or opinionated. Should we just go by the way of culture and say, well, there's really, there's not even men and women, that we should just love everybody, that it's all about inclusivity?
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, because they know where I stand with that. I mean, I don't believe in none of that, you know, because the word teaches that God created Adam and Eve, you know? So, no.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. I thank you for the call. I don't want to go too long in fairness to the other callers. I'll say this. From my position, and you kind of presented it as Christians were to not be, I forget the word you used, attacking, I think. I don't know what that means. And the medium that we have here is only a few moments, so we really can't get into things. So in the analogy of our political representatives, to be a Christian, does that mean we don't question anything? Does that mean we don't stand against anything? Does that mean we just go with everything that's said? Does that mean we never get angry? I'm sorry. I look in the Bible and I see times where Jesus even got pretty angry. But I know, depending on your brand of Christianity, that may or may not be popular. Here's one when we talk about anger and when we talk about God, that God is love, we're all God's children. I throw this up every once in a while on the radio just for you to kind of take this in. This is a pastor who believes in God's word. I think he's accurate in what he says. And in terms of being attacking or angry, try this one on for size.
But I despise the picture that's painted in our culture of this sissified, needy Jesus. Amen? And that's who he is. He's a sissified, needy Jesus. He's just yearning for you. He's longing for you. He wants friendship and relationship with you. He needs you. Oh, you're breaking his heart. No, he's going to break you. Newsflash. By definition, God is self-sustaining, self-existent, and self-sufficient. Therefore, by definition, he needs nothing. God does not need you. And he's going to prove it one day, because you're going to die and the world's going to keep on spinning at the same rate it was before you were here. And somebody's going to get all your stuff. He's waiting for you, all right. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. He judges and makes war. It's my God. Yeah, I got some issues, but that's all right. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my Jesus. That's the God whom I serve. Not the sissified Christ that's preached in pulpits around the United States of America. I serve the great God of the universe who gets angry and pours out his wrath. I serve the great God of the universe who demonstrated his wrath when he poured it out on his own son. And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God suffered and bled and died because of the wrath of God. That propitiation, the satisfaction of the righteous wrath of God, that's what was experienced on the cross. How dare we take that lightly? That's the one against whom you've sinned.
Man's name is Pastor Vody Baucom. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. In our final segment, what are your thoughts on today? I'm getting texts. People are watching television. They're already giving little predictions, and the polls say this and that, and it looks good. It doesn't look good. All I can say is God is in control. And for those of us that profess faith in Christ, I pray we stand for and by the view that is biblical and not worldly. 888-528-2557. If you'd like to email me, you can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And in a little more than 1 hour, if you'd like to follow updates and election results, you're welcome to tune to our sister station, AM 870, The Answer. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. It is Election Thursday. We thank you for joining us. Later tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, please tune to AM 870, The Answer, our sister station, for the latest in updates and election results. We're going to take a few phone calls before we do. How about this story? A Mississippi family is alleging religious discrimination against their third-grade daughter's elementary school after officials there forced her to remove her face mask that had the phrase, Jesus loves me, on it. Matthew and Jennifer Booth filed a federal lawsuit against Simpson County School District in Mississippi because their daughter Lydia was ordered to remove her mask and replace it with the one her school supplied. Booth could be suspended if she continues wearing the mask that says Jesus loves me. Alliance Defending Freedom is representing the family. Lawsuit says, quote, the school permits students to convey a multitude of messages concerning unlimited topics on their masks, such as Black Lives Matter and the New Orleans Saints logo, but forced Booth to remove her Jesus Loves Me mask, even though the suit says it had, quote, caused no disruptions, end quote. Lucille in Los Angeles. Lucille, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes. First, hello, and thank you for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. I love everything that you talk about. I wanted to go back to about 15 minutes ago you were talking about why some people didn't want to vote for Trump because they didn't think he was a Christian or the way he speaks and talks. I just wanted to remind people who are Christians that back in the Bible during 530 B.C., there was a king named King Cyrus. He was a pagan king, and he was the first king who actually was used to release the Jews to allow them to go back to Israel after 70 years of captivity. And that's in the Bible. He's King Cyrus. So my point is that whether Trump is a Christian or not, that's between him and God. I stand for what he represents, the people who are Christians and their moral beliefs. And that is pretty much why I vote for him, and I'm going to vote for him again. But we need to remember that sometimes God will use a man to represent the people of God, who may not be a man of God. Yeah. He says he is, and I believe that that's between him and God if he's not. But what he stands for the people, for Christians, people who have moral ethics and moral beliefs, like no abortion. I don't want to mention all the other ones because I don't I want to stick to the story about why I wanted to vote for Trump. Because he represents a lot of moral issues that Christians believe in.
Yeah, I think that's extremely well said. Also, thank you for bringing up Cyrus. That's a historical event, I think, that still speaks to us this day. And I agree with you. God can use anybody, man or woman, for sure. Lucille, thank you. Not that this is a direct correlation, but I had a thought as Lucille was sharing. When it comes to us saying, well, I can't vote for this guy, right? He doesn't emulate being a Christian. How many of us sit there and we do that with pastors? Oh, I don't like the way he preaches. Or I don't agree with him. That I don't think that's what the Bible says. Point being, there are some of us, maybe few and far between, by which we're so quick to point the finger. And I love the Bible. When you read scripture that says, take the log out of your own eye first before you worry about the speck in somebody else's eye. Or said differently, take a long, hard look in the mirror and ask yourself. Alan Clarence, I apologize. I'm not going to get to you. You're welcome to call back tomorrow, but I do want to end on this note. This man is a pastor of a church in Maine. Safe to say many of you have never heard him, unless you heard the program yesterday. I want to, in a sense, leave you with this thought before I briefly pray as we end this program. This is Pastor Ken Graves.
You, my friends, walk in faith. The just you live by faith alone. Do not allow your fears to be fueled. Suffocate that fire. Don't allow it to be continually being fueled. Close the door. Let that fear fire go out. And conversely, fuel your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I encourage you, friends, Spend more time on facts. Spend more time reading truth and take in the truth of God's word. Feed that faith and let your faith grow. Let your faith dictate your course, not your fears. Do not give in to your fears. And above all else, do not be afraid of people. Do not be afraid of the opinions of your fellow mortals. They're going to hate. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. And they will say of you that you don't care about people, even though you've spent your life demonstrating otherwise, even though you've spent your life living in sacrificial ministry in order that people can actually have their lives changed and set free. Decades of your life you could spend laboring with drug addicts and drunkards, holding them up, teaching them how to walk. Involve yourself with them every single day of your life, and they will still find a way to say, you haters, you endangering people you don't love, you're a wicked cult. Well, rejoice and be glad when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's what they do. So anyway, it's Friday. No study tomorrow evening, and I'll see you again live from the pulpit at Calvary Chapel on the Lord's Day. My friends, pray for our nation. Pray that truth prevails. Pray that good guys win. Pray that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is in danger of becoming something else. Grace and peace to all of you.
Pastor Ken Graves is senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Bangor, Maine. Father God, we ask in this moment that it's undeniable that you are in control, and I pray that you would give us your presence, whatever is to come tonight and tomorrow and the next day, not only in our country but the world. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the sacrifice of the cross. Lord, please hear our prayer. Whatever is to come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the strength that only we have in you, whatever the outcome is tonight. And we pray for all of those that are currently suffering right now or experiencing great loss or tragedy. Please be with them as well, Lord. We love you. I pray this in the name above all names. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the Frank Sontag Show.